Blog Talk Radio.
And this is Urban Therapy with Sun Show. We do this every single Sunday from 11 o'clock till around 12:30-ish. And the reason that we say 12:30-ish is because sometimes it gets so heated that we just have to do a little OT on a Sunday. And it is Sunday, baby. It's Sunday all up in your area. I'm feeling like a real man should, and I hope that y'all are too. This is a show where, well, you know, unless you're a woman, I hope you feel like a real woman should be feeling that way. This is the show where adults come out and play with other adults. We laugh, we cry, we argue, fuss and fight, bust it up, go back and forth with each other. We play on the monkey bars, the swings, we push each other up the sliding board. We be all up in the sandbox, in the merry-go-round, and everything is going to be all right. Yes, it will. We take an introspective look into our own behavior to see the way that we project into this universe, in this place that we call the world and this thing we call life. So I'm your host, Sun752, a.k.a. Omar with the rrrr. And if you can't say Omar with the rrrr, well, then you just say Omar with the R. It is Sunday morning. Give yourself a stretch, a morning yawning, and we're talking about earning your respect, paying for your respect. Earning your respect and paying for your respect. Which one have you been exposed to the most? Now, we could talk about ourselves all day. More than likely, well, I ain't gonna speak for everybody. I'm gonna say this though. I've had to get any respect that I've ever had by earning it, because I haven't been that. I've never been the money man. Not the money man. You know what I'm saying? There've been times when I had a lot more money. No, there've been times when I've had money, but not as much as people thought I had. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, it's amazing what our people and a lot of other people think is a display of wealth. A lot of people think that whatever you have. Oh, by the way, I ain't over here popping pills or whatever. You know, getting high. Genius mushrooms. Yeah, I'm glad that the glare won't allow you to see that. Now, I'm not advertising, but those are mushroom supplements, health supplements. What does it say that it's supposed to do? Increase oxygenation utilization, calm the spirit, enhance brain functions. I don't know. But nonetheless, let me shout out my people before we go a little farther. What's going on? T. Carrie Wright is always down for the morning, noon, and night. It's always good to have you right in my sight. This word. Anna, Emily Dunlap is in the place. It's so good to see your face. And Stacey Yvette White, what's going on, bye? It's good to see you. How you doing, all right? That's what I'm talking about. All right, Emily says, that's why I said people voted for Trump, too. They thought he was going to use his personal money for some things. Did they think that? What are you going to do? You going to buy the economy back into place? Anybody, honestly... Oh, my brother from another mother, Norris Hill. I said my brother from another mother, Norris Hill. What's going on, my brother? Thanks for coming on out. Good to see you. That's why I always give a shout. This word. You know, anybody who had ever studied Trump would have known that there's no way he's going to use his own money for anything, ever. He ain't going to buy you a pack of, Juicy Fruit with his own money. That's not the way he moves. So, anybody... When he declared that he was going to build a wall separating Mexico from the United States and Mexico was going to pay for it, he was telling the truth as far as the way that he gets things done. Yeah, you finance it, I'll brand it, and, you know, you build it and people will come, basically. But he doesn't use his own money for anything that I'm aware of, you know what I'm saying? Now, in his personal life, I'm sure he has to pay for something. But in his professional life, he normally gets sponsorship. He normally brings corporations together to fund things, and he uses his name as the brand. And it seems to have worked out very lucratively for him over the years. But, yeah, if you don't understand or really know how he does things, yeah, I guess you would think that, yeah, I don't know. You got to be fucking crazy to think that somebody's going to use their own money to run a government. Government has more money than anybody. The U.S. government does. Like, there's not a person in the world that has more money than the U.S. government. Even the Vanderbilts, even nobody. Nobody. I'm talking about the super ultra, you know, ridiculously. Like, there's no way you can have that much money rich. But... nonetheless, this is what we're dealing with. So when you're dealing with a situation where people are thinking that you can do something for them, they think that they're going to benefit from their affiliation with you, they're going to give you props. When somebody knows, especially businesses, if businesses know that you have money and that you have an altruistic nature about yourself, they are going to show love to you. They are. Because they figure you're going to show love back in the form of a couple of dollars. It's not unreasonable to think that way. It's not out of the bounds of reality. It makes sense. Yeah. You scratch our back. I mean, we'll scratch your back. You scratch ours. So, yeah. You know, I think that some people get really too caught up in that type of thinking, though. And that's where the problem comes. When they start thinking that, yeah, just like Emily was saying, people thinking that Donald Trump was going to fix their personal situation because of the money that he has. Like, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen even this much. Not even a teensy-weensy, itsy-bitsy, teeny-weeny little bit. So why do we, some of us, a lot of us, a high percentage of us, why do we automatically treat people better or show more admiration because of the money that they have? Why do we do that? You know, is it because we have ambitions to try to relieve them of some of that money? Is it because we want to be like them and we're hoping that they will mentor us in some type of way and show us how to get paid? Is it because we think that they have worked hard? Do we think that they put the work in? You know, what would y'all say? Be honest. Put it in the comments. What would y'all say if I asked y'all, do you think that rich people have worked hard to make the money that they have? Or do you think that none of the rich, or a very small percentage of the rich that we know of, have really worked hard, but they have been grandfathered in? So it's like the Bushes. It's like the Kennedys. You don't have to work hard. You just got to be there. This bloodline is going to get you where you need to be, because maybe somebody in our family did something a long time ago to get us established, and this is generational wealth that keeps rolling over and over and over and over. I'll say this for me personally. I do believe that rich people work for their money. It's not the kind of work that I do. They don't have to burn the midnight oil in the way that a blue-collar worker would have to do, or a low-level corporate position holder would have to do. No. But just because they don't do that type of work doesn't mean that they don't do any work. Remember when the movie Trading Places came out? Remember Eddie Murphy's old movie, Trading Places, which honestly, to this day, Trading Places might be my favorite Eddie Murphy movie. It was fucking good. Well, Coming to America, maybe that one. Maybe. It's a strong number two. Strong. Anyway, that's when he was still hungry. He was funny. Anyway. Remember in the movie when Dan Aykroyd, can't remember Dan Aykroyd's name in the movie, but remember when he was broke, when Mortimer and the other guy had broke the board, over a dollar just to see what would happen if they took a man from rags to riches. See if he would start bugging out. I remember what was her name? Fucking the hooker. The hooker. She played in Halloween, wasn't that her? Yeah. I want to say Jodie Foster, but that's totally wrong. It's Jamie Lee Curtis. Jamie Lee Curtis was the hooker in the movie that took Dan Aykroyd in, got him back together. But anyway, to prove that he was really rich, or had been really rich and somehow, fell off, she looked at his hands and she said, "Oh yeah, look at your hands. You've never done a day's worth of real work in your life," because his hands were perfectly manicured and all of that shit. After that, I started seeing people using that as a barometer. Like, let me see your hands.
if you don't have any calluses on your hands, your hands don't look rough or whatever, then that's supposed to mean that you don't have a job. So you don't work with your hands. So you don't really work. Mentally, people start to believe that shit. Like, solid worker that has to go to work every day, bust their ass, sweat, you know what I mean? Make sure they change their clothes as soon as they get home or on a daily basis and have to actually do a lot of physical work. They think that that's real work. The mental work, the paperwork, the stress of negotiations, that's not real work. But if you ask yourself which one lives longer, the physical worker probably beats the one that is just has to deal with the stresses. So I'm saying all of that to say this. I respect any man that works towards the goal of whatever they want in life, whether it's money, a lot of money, or whether it's for spiritual enlightenment, or whether it's just to put food on the table, roof overhead, and a nice car for their family. I respect all of that because it is work. You may not have the vision that somebody else has, but it doesn't mean that you don't work. And it doesn't mean that the person that has more than you has not worked. That's just the way I feel. But I'm not going to speak. That's what I'm going to try not to do today. I'm going to try not to speak for anybody else. But I think I know that a lot of people really think that rich people, super rich people, don't work. They don't put in any work. Now, if you go back to the Trumps and their administration, so you look at Donald Trump, you look at Ivanka, you look at D. Trump Jr. And Eric and whoever the fuck else, you know what I mean? You look at them, and it doesn't look like they have to work hard. But I don't know about that because out of all of them, the only one that really has a lot of money is Donald Trump. So the head is still the one that seems like he has fueled everybody else, even with Ivanka in a fashion line or whatever the fuck it is, whatever it is that she does. It seems like had it not been for him, she wouldn't have that. None of them seem independently wealthy or like they have really done anything for themselves. It looks to me like they still, like he hasn't really trained them to get it. They still like, well, yeah, I got it because he got it. So I might have businesses and things like that on the side. But yeah. I mean, even with Ivanka, right? Even with Ivanka, you see, she was married to the boy, Kushner. I can't remember his first name. Kushner. Now, his family is way rich. His family might be richer than Donald Trump. So she married into money. So, you know, like, Jared Kushner. Okay. Thank y'all. Appreciate that. Emily says, you knew I was going to say something, huh, about pill popping. I know, but I'm going to let you know. If I'm going to do drugs, it ain't going to be in front of y'all unless y'all with me. But I ain't going to say that I ain't going to do no drugs. Like, nah, I'm just playing. Deck Shepherd says, great video audio quality, Sun 752. If you only knew how much I appreciate you saying that. Thanks for looking out. Thanks thanks for the compliment, Deck Shepherd. Appreciate it. Thanks for coming through with the Urban Therapy with Sun Show. Emily says, we all know Trump supporters are idiots. And you know, I would love to dispute that. But I have nothing. There's a lot of things that they say are beyond logic. But I'm not even trying to diss today. This is what I want to talk about. I want to really explore the reasons why we give love, respect, props, favor, and gratuity to people who already have money? Do we think that they work? Do we think that they don't work? Do we think that the person that that works all of their life, that works their whole life, working hard, but does not make a lot of money, do we think that they've wasted their time? I know for a fact that there are people who believe that. Like, well, you know, you worked on the same job for this many years and you retired, you still don't really have nothing. And I'm like, the way the social, political, and financial climate is nowadays, we seem to believe, and I'm not saying that this is true, but we seem to believe that everybody has to be an entrepreneur. Everybody has to be out there getting this money. Everybody out there should be starting their own business. And I'm like, everybody wasn't made, groomed, conditioned, raised, influenced to have their own business. There's a such thing as role players. And if you are okay with the role that you play, why would anybody feel the need to disrespect what you're doing? And I'm not going front, because there may have been times in my life where I felt the same way. My daddy brought me up to have my own business. He used to tell me all the time, son, the only way to make a lot of money is to have a bunch of people paying you. And we were in real estate at the time. It made nothing but sense. You got 100 people paying you anywhere between $500 and $1,000 a month. Yeah, you're doing all right. Yeah. You're doing okay. You're still not rich. Honestly, you're not, but you're doing okay. So there was times when I was influenced by that. But everybody can't do that shit. We were blessed to be able to do it ourselves. My dad had a vision. He got his vision from his grandfather. His grandfather wasn't rich. Nowhere near it. He was broke. He was a farmer. North Carolina, farmer. But the way that he felt about his granddad was like, well, even though my granddad didn't have a lot of money, he still had his own shit. So he raised his own livestock. He raised his own vegetables and things like that. He had his own. Makes sense to me. But somebody who has their own that way may have the respect of their peers. But new people might look at him like, oh, you ain't nobody. You ain't nobody. You're just a little. You're just a little shepherd. I'm only saying shepherd because it's dead shepherd. Yeah, you know, his name is ingrained in my psyche now. That's what's up, though. Okay, wait a minute. Oh, dead shepherd says, found me on Blog Talk. Well, well, well. Oh, he did. That's a good look. Just when I thought that I only use Blog Talk for the phone number. Just what I was starting to believe. Listen, I've been on Blog Talk since 2008. So, you know, we're talking about 13 years strong. 13 years scrawling all up in the house. But it's a good look. So I'm saying this, you know, what we're trying to uncover, we're trying to unlock what we really feel and what we think about. What we think about people who have a lot of money. You know, do we live vicariously through them? And is that the reason why we treat them a little bit better? But even if we do treat them better because they have money, that is no excuse for mistreating somebody just because they don't have a lot of money. That doesn't sound like a good thing to do or a good way to be to me. Make sure that y'all hit the like button. Make sure that you hit the like button. Make sure that you share the show. Make sure that you subscribe to the channel. If you haven't subscribed to the channel yet, this is the Urban Therapy with Sun Show. Y'all know what it is. So let's go. A shepherd can be a teacher. That's true, because a shepherd is a leader. That's another thing. Do we automatically think that people who have a lot of money are leaders? I think subliminally there's a good chance that we do. Like, you have to be a leader. You got all the money. You're a millionaire. How do you become a millionaire without being a leader? Easily. Make a record and have it go platinum. Go on tour. Happens all the time. Many of our entertainers have never been leaders, but they still made a lot of money. It happens. And that's not to say that you can't be a leader on some level in your own right. You just may not be what the quintessential example of a leader may be in our minds. It may not be what we're used to. But I put up a post on my page a couple of days ago, whatever. And I was saying how, you know, black people aren't raised. Black people are raised, black parents raise their children to go to school, be obedient. But should I say follow the rules, you know, go to college, get a job, work for the rest of their lives. A lot of people have a problem with that, like, you know. And our new level of consciousness, you know, we believe that, well, it's not even just us anymore, but many of us believe that we haven't been conditioned properly by our parents. We haven't been taught to exercise our entrepreneurial spirit. We haven't been taught to embrace ownership. And I agree with that. However, I don't think that it should apply to everyone. I think that what we should do, or what we should concentrate on, is making sure that we support those who want to branch out on their own and market themselves independently. I wholeheartedly believe that we should support that. But should we push everybody to do that? I don't think that that's possible. Not all white people are leaders. If you didn't see that on January 6th, or maybe you consider them to be a leader for a different cause. But I know for a fact that all white people do not have money. And they're not all leaders. They don't have some secret stash of cash somewhere. Many, many of them are living from pillow to post and, you know, and hand to mouth, just like a lot of other people, just like a lot of quote-unquote minorities are. So I'm saying this to say that I don't have a problem with somebody being taught to go to school, learn all you can, follow rules, stay out of trouble, go to college or the military, or get a job, make sure that you stay out of the legal system, make enough money to be able to raise your family. I don't have a problem with that. I don't. And there might have been a time when I think I may have had a little problem with that. I'm really learning things to make it in this global economy. Get the fuck out of here. It ain't always about all of that. And I'm not trying to display any defeatist behavior here. That's not what I'm trying to do. But what I'm trying to say is, it's okay. It's okay to be on your way in different parts of your life, different phases. It's okay. It's okay not to want to be a millionaire. Okay. It has to be okay because it's consistent. It's consistent. So, you know, what I do have a problem with is this. I have a problem with people saying, don't go to college because you ain't going to be able to get a job anyway. And these student loans are going to be so much that you're never going to be able to pay your way out of the college that you graduated from. And you ain't going to get no job. Nah, that's irresponsible to me. It's ridiculous. It is. Back in the day, we were taught that college is not formed so you can go out and get a job. It's a byproduct, but you went to college to learn how to learn. So a person that learns how to learn will always be eligible for a position somewhere. Why? Because if you learn how to learn, that means you learn how to do things. But people don't want to, it's like that type of conditioning, that type of thinking has somehow gone out the window. And you have to get it right now. If you're not in it to win it right now, then it ain't going to happen. So we're all living like we're going to die today. There won't be any tomorrow. Microwave conditioning. Microwave conditioning in the microwave society. And I just don't, I ain't feeling all that. I ain't feeling all that. Are you? Wait a minute, let me make sure. Okay, we good. All right. Okay. So when we start talking about props, you know, earning your props or paying for your props, I took the long way of saying this, but do you think that some people just pay for their respect and are willing to pay for it? Like, maybe they don't have the type of personality that can get them respect in any other kind of way. So they just make sure that wherever they go, they just open up their wallet and start peeling off dollars, and then they get whatever they want. Other people have to use their mind. They have to use their body. They have to use their wit. They have to use their acumen. They have to use their whatever it is. Whatever their gifts are, they have to use them. T. Carrie Wright says, the font go to college. What font? I like Manitoba Corsiva. That's my favorite font. What's your? Okay, I'm messing with. Okay, the don't go to college, I guess, argument always annoys me. The same way that entrepreneurship is for some, but not for others. That applies to college as well. Everything is a college now, though. Remember before, there used to be a clear separation between the education that you got in a university, a college or university, and the education that you got in a trade school. So there was a big separation between Temple University and Penco Tech. Guess what happened now? Guess what's going on now? Penco Tech is a university now. They started incorporating more classes than just teaching you how to fix cars and things like that. So the technical experience goes along with the education or the academic experience. But it made me ask the question, well, how was learning a technical skill, how was that ever exempt from the academic experience? You still had to read. You had to pass exams. Sure, you may not have had to take elective classes or gym, but you still had to study. You still had to learn. And guess what else? You still had to compete and be good. So now, even if you go to beauty school, you got to learn a whole lot of other shit besides beauty. I'm not so sure you weren't getting that before. But when we switch up the language, you know, yeah. T.K. Wright says, my haste has me looking like a horrible English major. English? That wasn't English. That was Anglish. You lucky that I just happened to have a decoder pin a decoder pin for chat room. I gotta have a chat room decoder pin. I just that's not fine. That's don't. That's not Aguila ways. That's argue always. Argument always. Decoder pin. Okay. But nah, I got you. Don't even worry about it. But yeah. So I know people, and you probably know people who just throw their money around because they know that people are gonna show love, respect, favor, even if it's sexual favor. They know that they can get what they want if they pay for it. But guess what? Anybody can get whatever they want if they pay for it. If there's one thing that money can do is it can buy things. It's the one guaranteed thing that money can do. It can buy things. What do you do in the absence of money? How are you going to get love? How are you going to get respect? You probably have to get it from somebody who doesn't care about money. Now, nowadays, you would think that there isn't anyone in the world who doesn't care about money. It seems like everybody cares about money. It's all about money. You ain't got no money. You ain't funny. You ain't witty. You ain't nothing. You cornball. You strike city. Yo, you can't come around. You can't act. You can't do this thing. You can't be. Yo, you won't come around. I ain't fucking with you. Yo, son, you ain't down. It's word. And I'm going to tell you like this, that, and the third. Yo, you got to get this money. You heard? That shepherd says, if you're taking calls, I'm a 615. Oh, yeah, let's go. I'm always taking calls. Let's do that right now. Caller with the last number is 4321. Welcome to the Urban Therapy with Sun Show. Thank you for calling in. What's on your mind this afternoon?
Hey, son, this is Det Shepherd calling from Nashville, Tennessee.
Appreciate you coming through. What's up, man?
I was browsing through Blog Talk. I hadn't been on in quite a few years and just started to revisit it here in about the last month. I happened to follow your show back in 08. That's how I bumped into you. So there was evidently something you were putting out back in 08 that caught my attention. I wanted to comment on what you were saying. I started thinking about when I look at somebody that's really wealthy, and that's different for everybody. Really wealthy is different to me than it is to somebody else. You know, I could be living in the gutter, and somebody with $5,000 a year income could be wealthy. But it gets back to this. Somebody had to teach me this. This is really, really powerful. Anyone can gain, but not everyone can maintain. What that did was it taught me to stop saying, if I only had X per hour in income, if I could only make that one sale, if I could only get that one job, you know, constantly striving to get to that next thing, which there's nothing wrong with that. But I have to remember, if I come into a big old wad, whatever that is, a million, 10 million, 5,000, 2,000, am I going to squander it? Am I going to let people around me suck it off of me and walk away with it? Or am I going to know how to work it and continue it and make it flourish and make it multiply? And I think that's a really important point when we're looking at someone who's really rich and going, man, they're so lucky. Man, they had a silver spoon up their butt when they were born. Their daddy gave it to them. Well, you know, their dad could die tomorrow. They could inherit the fortune and run through it in a year, 2 years, or 3 years. So you made me think about that. Hadn't thought about that in a while.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because, yeah, we think along those lines a lot. You know, like, you know, that's what I was talking about earlier in the show when I was asking, do we think that people who are wealthy or rich or whatever, do we think that they have just gotten lucky? Do we think that they have been grandfathered in? Do we think that they haven't put in any work? And we have to really – We have to change our thinking about what we think work is. Just because somebody doesn't do the kind of work that we're familiar with or that we do, it doesn't mean that they haven't worked hard. It doesn't mean that there aren't other ways to expend a lot of energy. But I totally agree with you when you talk about maintaining. You know, when you are able to repeat the process of what was successful instead of just doing it once. And you know, thinking like, yeah, we got lucky. What is luck? You know, I don't think that there's any way that you can depend on luck as a strategy, especially when you're talking about finances.
And yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, no, go ahead.
I heard a gentleman, he was using a sports analogy, and he was using Tiger Woods as an example as being, you know, obviously an excellent golfer, an amazing golfer. This is many years ago, I was listening to this lecture, and he said, let's assume you're a golfer, and you see Tiger Woods driving the ball, putting, whatever it is, and he's doing it with excellence. He's doing it at the top of the game, and you're saying, man, I wish I could hit the golf ball like that. And he said, no, you wish you could hit the golf ball like that if it was easy. And he said, when you look at someone like that, and I'm referring to someone who is excellent at what they do, if it's making money, that would be a really rich person. If it's a Tiger Woods, it's a Tiger Woods. And he said, you are looking, if you're not at that level, or you're not where you want to be, or you're not quite where you think you could be, you're looking at your own rejected thoughts. In other words, do I really understand what it takes to get to that level? And if I even have half of an understanding of that, am I willing to do what it takes to maintain that? And I think for most people, myself included, because I stay in my lane, I am not that kind of person. I am not an ultimate overachiever. I'm not the guy that is going to stick with it, go bankrupt 15 times to come out on top. That's just not who I am. And I can admit that. I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I totally agree. And it's funny that you bring up Tiger Woods, because although I'm totally not a fan, one thing that you cannot discount with somebody like Tiger Woods is that he didn't put in work. He practiced day in, day out, long hours. That's how he perfected his craft. Same thing with Michael Jordan. You know, they weren't lucky. Those shots didn't go in by luck. He definitely didn't play defense by luck. And, you know, so when we view our most evident examples of success, which are those that we see in the media, what we do is a lot of times our untrained eyes make us into people who only look at results. You know, we don't look at process. We just look at results. And you know, when you only look at the results of something, then it can give you a false narrative of exactly how things play out and the way that they go and what it takes in order to make it. You know, so, you know, when we see somebody who has a lot of money, we don't know how they got it. We don't know what kind of deals they made. We don't know who they knew. We don't know where they had to go. We don't know how long they had to wait, especially if the person seems like they're young and rich. So we're like, well, they couldn't have waited all that long because they're only 25 years old or something like that. But the time that you spend honing your craft, perfecting your craft, and working on it, that's the time that matters. Not the length of time that you've been on this earth. You know, because if you so-called hit it big in at age 70 or whatever, doesn't mean that you worked your whole life or even waited your whole life in order to do that. You may have gotten the idea or the technique. You may have gotten that down at age 65. And it's like, bingo, you finally found your niche. You finally found the way to do it. So we can't always look at the result of a situation and make our assessment about the way that it is just from that. But we seem to be conditioned to do that. You know, and I have a problem with it. And this whole hit it big thing.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know about this.
You make it big.
Go ahead.
I mean, now you've really opened up a good door. I mean, hence the popularity of the American Idol shows and The Voice and all that. I get that. You know, if it's just for entertainment, you know, that's fine. I've listened to some people sing a song on that particular show. It's usually just reruns on YouTube for me, and been emotionally moved if they did an amazing job at delivering that song. But I heard someone say that was very prominent in the music business. I can't remember who it was. And they said simply this: the people that only sing the song do not make the money in music. the people that write the songs make all of the money in music. So back to, yes, yes, very powerful. Back to what you said, and you did it so well, seeing what we see, and this is the part that trips us up. We have an assumptive conversation in our brain as soon as we see. We are visual creatures, and we go, man, if I could just have a hit song. Man, if I could have a hit song. Well, I don't really know if you're quite aware of the environment that you have to live, sleep, eat, and breathe in to be in that area of performance and achievement and wealth. And do you really know? This is the key question you made me think. Do I really know what the true cost is to maintain what I'm seeing? And for most, 99.9, I think the answer is hell no.
Yeah. Even people who are in the industry doing it, they don't know. The surprises that they have encountered once they start seeing what dues actually had to be paid. And I'm not even talking about, you know, any type of dark science or Illuminati stuff. I'm just talking about how the game actually works. And the same thing applies to politics. You know, I try to tell people all the time that politics has everything to do with money. It has absolutely nothing to do with people. And people listen, they shake their head like, yeah, you know what, you're right. But they don't really understand. They don't really understand how each policy is tied to a particular monetary value. They don't get it. They don't understand how whenever a law is passed or a bill or legislation, they don't understand that the first question is how and who is going to pay for it. They don't know. Whether it benefits you or it seems to go towards the other side, whether it's the independent party, Democrat or Republican, they don't understand that at the end of the day, each politician is an agent, a worker, an employee, and their job is to make this budget work in the favor of the government, but have the veneer that is working for the people. And that's whether you involve yourself in it or not. So once you start getting into the inner workings of anything in this world, you start saying, like, wait a minute, there is a reason that the word business is longer than the word show. And it seems this shit ain't even worth it.
Yeah. I'll tell you what you made me think about when you mentioned the political part of it, because I don't want to say study it, because I don't need to look at something too terribly long to go, I'm pretty sure I get what this is all about. And, you know, there can be years of checking it out. But to me, and not to change the topic, but you did bring it up, politics is about the harnessing of human energy. It has nothing to do with anything else. That's all it is. And if money comes with it, then that just happens to be one of the side benefits. It's about the harnessing of human energy. I mean, what is our vote? Right? What is our vote? That's my energy. That's my sign. That's my signature. That's my acquiescence. And I don't mean that in a slave way. It's just, hey, I have given my authority. That's really what we're talking about. I have given my energy, and I'm saying, you are in my stead, and you will speak for me in my stead. And you are my proxy. You are my power of attorney. That's what voting is. It's our energy. And these people are absolute masters at maintaining that energy, gaining that energy, and harvesting that energy. They're really farmers of the human being, of the human species. That's what they are at a deep level. Great, great radio, son, by the way. This is not just because you opened up the mic. This is really good stuff. This is really important stuff people need to be thinking about.
I hear you, man. I appreciate that compliment. And you really just dropped a jewel and a bomb right there. You know, that it works. You know, it's just that, you know, but the reason that I say that politics is all about money is because they move it around. Everything has to be paid for. But you are right. They definitely harness human energy. And a lot more goes into that when you start thinking about the way that propaganda is set up and the way the media influence, you know, goes into it and things. Yeah. And we really believe that the you know, we really believe that our vote counts, and it does. But it's politics and show business are very, very similar. And you do have to put on a show.
Yeah, and people, yeah, that's a good point.
And people like, if people like what they say, what they see, they go into that booth and they make it happen. Now the question becomes, do we have enough proof to support that what happens in that voting booth is really what we're getting the results of?
You know, what's really.
Yeah, go ahead.
You made me think of. I'm a wordsmith. I've always been a wordsmith. I have been since I was a kid. Spelling fascinated me. I was really good at English. When you go to the voting booth, you cast your ballot. Well, why is it in Hollywood that they call that the group of people that are in the movie, the cast? And the reason I said that is because you said politics and Hollywood are quite similar, and I'm agreeing with you. And there's a lot more to that similarity than most people see.
Hey, listen, the politicians are on TV. They read off of scripts. They dress in a certain way. When they're campaigning, and they have their sleeves rolled up. You know what I'm saying? Like, look at that.
Yeah.
What are your sleeves rolled up for? What are you doing?
You trying to make me think you're a common working man or a woman.
Hey, it's the show. It's the show.
Yeah.
And it works.
Yeah.
It's tried and true. Every time I see somebody campaigning, they got their sleeves rolled up. I'm like, what's about to move some boxes? What you doing?
Yeah, let me mention a prime example of that to an extreme. And I only saw, you know, like the 10-second video clip. I didn't see the context of it. This was when Hillary was running, and I'm not picking on her. This is just an example that popped into my head. She was out campaigning, I think, and she was at some local place, you know, a major city, just hanging out with normal folk. And she reaches into her purse, and she pulls out a bottle of hot sauce. And I'm like, you shameless bitch.
That. I remember that.
That's all a show, baby. That's what that is. That's show. That's a shameless show, what that is.
I remember. I was like, really, Hillary? Really? Like, yo, you never know when a piece of fried chicken might show up, but if it does, I'm ready. Come on, man. Yeah. So, yeah, but it's a show. And it works. The visual, the image thing, it works. It works. And it makes us think that some things work differently than they actually work. But at the end of the day, you know, we all feed into it in a certain – we even feed into the things that we openly reject because we're still exposed to it, and there's no way that we can limit our exposure to it, but we can't cease to be exposed to it. It's like trying to run from the sun. Even if you cover yourself in all black, you're still exposed to the sun. You can't get around that. And the ubiquity of the media influence is always there. But it makes me wonder about this whole financial conditioning that we have, or this financial appreciation conditioning that we've been exposed to. Do we think that the rich are good and the poor are bad, or vice versa? Because there are plenty of people who believe that the rich are bad and the poor are good. And I don't think that either one of them are consistently true, but
And those are, I guess a word would be meme. That would be a modern word that seems to be used. Back in the day, I'm 51. Back in the day, we called them, you know, platitudes, whatever you want to call them. Rich people are evil. Poor people are pious. Poor people will inherit the earth. Those are all memes. Those are part of the script that's been running for centuries on this planet. But A lot of that is coming loose. I think a lot of people are starting to pay attention to what's really going on. And in the end, and I had this conversation with a friend of mine that I've known since 1987. That's a long-standing friend right there. If you've got a friend you've known that long, hang on
to that
friend if they're good to you and they're on your side. And we said this, if a person, let's just say a Hillary, whoever it is, a Donald Trump, it doesn't matter, somebody at that level, if they have all of the money they'll ever need and they have access to damn near unlimited power, but not totally unlimited, but let's just call it in our perspective, unlimited power. Mm-hmm. Why would they continue to want to mess with people like me, a W-2 job, you know, paying my bills? Why would they want to do that? All the money in the world, almost all the power in the world. I finally came to the conclusion, and my friend and I agreed with each other, not because we're friends, because it made good common sense. They do the nasty, nefarious shit that they do to people because they get off on it.
Yep. You have to have the mental element. You know,
yep.
Money and access and so-called power, that's one thing. But, you know, there are people out there who just like to see somebody do something. I'm gonna make let me just see if I can get them to get on all fours and eat out of a dog dish. Okay,
Hey,
I mean, everybody needs what they need. You know, that's why what they say, prostitution is the world's oldest profession. It makes sense. It makes sense because it's not even just the physical part behind it. It's the mental part. It's the emotional part. Look, I look at you with serious admiration, and you know, if you want to, you get to, you know, ravage me or whatever. But
yeah,
what you're missing, what you may be missing at home, you're going to pay for with a hooker. You know what I'm saying? And I'm just using that as an obvious example that a lot of people don't pay attention to. They think that men who solicit prostitution are just freaks or whatever. And it's like, no, it's not even like that, you know? So, but what it is that they get told, look, you're so large, you're the man, or you're the greatest. Oh my gosh, I should be paying you, that kind of stuff. Those are the things he may not be getting from his wife, his significant other or whatever. You know, those might have been things that he may have never heard in his life. He's never been called a king. He's never been called great. He's never been called a man. And now he gets that, but he pays for that. And that's why I named the show, earning your respect or paying for your respect. Either way, if you get it, you're going to be satisfied. But what you may go through in order to get it may be different than you or I or whoever. But it's not always everyone else that determines the way that you're going to feel. But it's going to be somebody. You know what I mean? It may not be the masses. It may not be all of your peers or all of your social circle. But it's going to be somebody. Somebody is going to make you feel important. Now, that's somebody that you are looking towards to make you feel important. Are you being made to feel important by buying into it, or should I say paying into it, or by working your way into it, earning it?
Yeah.
Earn.
Yeah. I think it gets to a deeper question. If I'm looking at that respect that I want, you know, whoever it's from, whatever my peer group is or my profession, we all have the thing that we do for a living. Maybe I'm looking for those people's respect. Maybe I'm looking for my neighbor. Pick wherever you're going to try to get the respect from. But know this. This is what really helped me a lot. I have to ask the simple question, what is money? If that's what I'm going to use to get what it is that I want, whether it's a prostitute or respect or whatever it is that I'm trading, what is money? It's human energy in its simplest form. It really is. It's human energy. So if I'm looking for that respect, it's because, and you kind of talked about that mental part of it or that emotional part of it, and I'm paraphrasing, I'm not putting words in your mouth. That's a currency. Respect is a currency because it can be spent. You know, punani is a currency. It can be spent, right? And we all do it. We all use our bodies to do certain things. And I don't mean, you know, prostitution, whatever it is. Everything is a currency. Everything is an energy. So if it happens to be a piece of paper with a dead white man on it, then okay. If you'll take it in exchange with me something that I want and you get what you want, as long as no one's under duress here, nobody's got a gun to their head, then we're good. We walk away and we're happy. But that respect is no different than money, because you know that if you get it, it's going to make you feel a certain way. And then other people are going to look at you, and then maybe you want their respect. So it's just, it's a daisy chain. You know, it never stops. It just never ends. Well, I'll just get that one person's respect and then I'm done. No, we're going to keep going because that's just kind of how we are. You know, we want more. Doesn't mean we're greedy. Doesn't mean we're immoral. But, I mean, think about it. Like, let's say, for example, I look at somebody who's really rich and I go, man, if I could just have $1 million. That number's been used my whole life. People think that one, if I could just be a millionaire, A meaning 1 million, I'd be happy. Do you know how fast you could spend $1 million not increasing your current lifestyle? It doesn't last long. It really doesn't. I could burn through $1 million like nobody's business. So it all gets to, well, how much more do I want? Well, you know, 5 would be good. Okay, if 5 is good, then fine. But I have to understand what the cost is before I get started. I have to, right? Because if I don't know what the cost is when I get started, I might realize I'm up to my eyeballs in some shit I don't know how to deal with. And people right. can get hurt. They can get disillusioned. And things go sideways.
Well, you probably –
I don't know if that made any sense.
No, it made total sense. You know what I mean? You spend a dollar off of a million, you're not a millionaire anymore. I don't know if people look at it that way. You know what I'm saying? And $900,000 is not $1 million. But some people round it off to the nearest cent. But here's the thing. Satisfaction is something that you want to roll over. You want consistency in satisfaction. So, yeah, what you were saying makes total sense to me. Like, yeah, you don't want to just get props one day. You don't want to just get love and respect one day, you know, from one person. Even if it is just one person, you don't want that. You don't want it from that one person one day. You know, it's like winning a date with a celebrity. You know, whoever your favorite celebrity is. You know, look, you get into this contest and you can win a date with some single celebrity. Hell, wow, I won a date with this celebrity. Okay. But guess what? That date with that celebrity may make you come away feeling unfulfilled because it just wasn't what you thought it was going to be. First of all, you may have fantasized that date was going to turn into more dates, and it doesn't. You may have thought that it was going to turn into at least a contact, a regular contact, and it might not. You may have thought that person was going to be just like the images and the demeanor that you saw in the media, and they're not. You know, so there are a lot of things that come along with not knowing or following the process of things. You know, like you've probably seen what happens to people who win the lottery and, you know, what they say, within 5 years they be broke again. You know what I mean? They hit the lotto, hit the power. I don't know if you can do that. You know, back in the days of the regular lotto, $2 million, and by the time the IRS got finished with them and everything like that, and they went out and started shopping till they dropped and giving away a lot of the money, and they just wound up being broke when all was said and done, and they were out of the money way faster than anybody thought that they should have been. But it makes sense that would happen, because if you didn't work, if you didn't follow a process to make that money, it feels like free money. So you're going to treat it like free money. You're treating it like house money, but now that money is in your house. But you don't know how to make any money. The way that you made it was by buying a ticket. You got it by luck. And it's going to take, unless you learn better, you're going to only be able to keep it by luck. And that luck may run out in 3 to 5 years. It happens all the time. You know what I'm saying?
So, somebody.
Yeah, I'm just.
Somebody
I'm just,
said. I'm sorry.
Learning,
there's
no, let me just finish this thought. Just learning the process of things is going to be something that is going to, you know, once you start building those pathways in your mind, you start to see how things work. that's a big part of satisfaction. Like, oh, now I get it. Why didn't anybody say this to me a long time ago? I would have done this and that and the third, but you weren't ready. You weren't in the position. You weren't in the location. You weren't in the mental state in order to be able to take in this knowledge. And now it's here. Now let's see what you do going forward. Go ahead, my man.
You just triggered a memory. I listened to a great video lecture. It was several hours long by a guy named Bob Proctor. He's kind of one of those really old sort of motivational kind of, you know, I don't want to say new age, but let's just say The Secret, in that vein. And I listened to that a couple times. I learned some good things from it. Other things, you know, didn't work for me, and that's fine. He said something really cool. He was talking about being in business, trying to get involved, plug yourself in, you know, and be excellent at it and start really making money. This is what he said. I'll never forget it. He said, and he was talking about himself. He said, I was in the right place at the right time several times in my working career before I hit it big. He goes, but I didn't know. I didn't know I was in the right place at the right time. So what that taught me was, is I could be standing in front of, let's just use a silly example, 5 bars of solid gold that weigh 3 pounds apiece. If I don't know that that's gold, it's not going to do me a damn bit of good. I'll use them as paperweights. I have to have a level of awareness to know, kind of like what you said, that when it shows up, I got to know what it is that I have in my hand. I need to understand what it is that I'm looking at. And that doesn't just come overnight. That takes time, like you said. And, you know, if I look at someone that's just, say, really, really, really stupid rich, and I go, they're kids, they're all brats, they got it handed to them. People don't understand. There's a gap between the day that that kid was born and the day you see them as an adult. Do you have any idea what kind of training that person received every single day of their life? Not only through the education that they received, whatever level that is, but through the example, the vibration, whatever you want to call it, that their parents imbued into them. Now, when they become an adult, they can make a choice. I can either accept or reject these things. But they didn't just wake up one day and have a bunch of money dumped in their lap, right? I mean, it's like if I were to look at somebody and go, man, I really want to get me a rental property. I want to be a landlord. I only want one or two, and I see somebody with 100 properties. Do you really know what it takes to maintain 100 rental properties? It's dirty, man. I don't mean dirty, illegal. It is not pretty. It's just not pretty. It's a lot of damn hard work.
It really is, and frustrating.
A lot.
And you're never going to get 100% of that money. Woo! But
you got that right.
My tenants never understood that. They didn't. They thought that we were just rich, you know, living out in the burbs or something like that. I'm like, no, that's not how that works. But what you don't know will make you assume, you know, basically because of the results that you see. Oh, well, in order to be able to drive this kind of car, you have to have this type of money.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Huh. Is that the way that works? Huh? So everybody who drives this car has that kind of money? Well, then.
Funny you mentioned that.
Yeah, I'm thinking we might as well just throw financing and any type of any other type of strategy right out of the window, huh?
I got a guy that I'm doing. Let's just say I'm in the loan business. We'll just put it that way. Totally legally, a bank, normal, nothing shady. And I don't see this very often at the level of finance that I work in. There's different levels of finance. You know, there's title pawn all the way on up to Wall Street. Anything in between is anything in between. I'm kind of like your local average normal dude working at a bank. This guy's a doctor, not a physician, but I think he's in like orthotics. Not exactly sure what he does. He makes a lot of money. Let's just say over $1 million a year. I looked on his credit report. He had a $5,000 a month Bentley payment, and he owed $210,000 on that car.
Good Lord.
And I've been doing this for 20 years. That's not common at the level of finance that I work in. I've seen some spicy car payments, $4,000. Maybe that's like a really big, full-size, heavy-duty commercial size truck, you know, dual axles, things like that. Okay, fine. I get it. But this is just a Bentley. This is not, we're going to hop in the four cylinder, run down to the 7-Eleven, grab a big gulp of pack of smokes and come back and watch Netflix. This is a $5,000 a month Bentley. But here's the thing. You know what? Some people say, well, you know, he had to have cheated the system. And this goes back to the incorrect thinking about how it all works and not having the experience of what this person does. I'll never know what he does for a living, and I'll never know the level of dedication that he has because I don't know him. But I do know this. For whatever reason, he bought that car. He can afford the payment. If he couldn't afford the payment, I wouldn't be doing his loan to buy a second home down in Florida because you either – it's your debt ratio either works or it doesn't. That's how lending operates. We all know these things. But I'm like, I wonder what purpose, and I don't mean it in a judgmental way. I wonder what purpose that Bentley served for him. That could be just to entertain potential clients. That may be the car that he goes and picks people up in, that he takes them to dinner in. We don't know. But I look at that 210 balance, and I know it was financed for 7 years. Hell, they're financing jewelry for 5 years now, son. I mean, I saw a banner above a jewelry store when I was getting a haircut a couple of weeks ago. It said financing up to 5 years, a jewelry store. And I don't live in Beverly Hills. I just live in a normal – 5 years. 5 years paying on a ring. But anyway, I digress. That car, that payment, serves a purpose for him. And you know what? I'm willing to bet. Even if he were into nefarious, illegal shit, I promise you he works his ass off. I promise you he does. Because I know, based on observation, not personal experience of income, I've never made more than $100,000 a year in my life. I don't have a problem with that. But I've been around people that are six-plus figure earners. They work 12 hours a day and even more. You don't just turn on the faucet and go home and sit on the couch and smoke cigars all day. You got to maintain that shit.
If you get paid on salary and you are – even if you're in the high five figures, you know that they're going to try to milk the shit out of you. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Yo. Yeah. Above the six-figure mark – it's like, you know, you're never coming home. You're never coming home. And when you come home, your phone is blowing up, your laptop, you know, you're fielding emails all the time. It's like, yeah, your life gets subtracted, but that's the way it works. And there is no free money. There is no free status. So, yeah, that's why I don't discount people who have a lot of money. Go through. I don't discount that struggle. No way. The same way I don't discount the hole digger, the construction worker who is just a laborer who actually has to take the spade, shovel, and dig. So they both do a lot of work. How do people determine what their level of respect is going to be? And their view is going to be different for both, depending on who they hang around with, what other kind of things that they do in order to gain recognition, respect, or whatever you want to call it. It's still applicable in their lives. They're still in search of the same thing. They're in search of satisfaction. They're in search of being comfortable and feeling safe and having love, affection, having people, it feels good to have people, you know, tell you that they really like you or that they admire you for whatever reason. And when people sneak up on you and let you know that, it's like, well, hey, I didn't even know that anybody noticed. Sometimes it's the things that you don't do in order to gain attention that get the most attention. And it can sneak up on you years later after you've already forgotten about it. Like, what do you mean? I didn't know that anybody even knew that I was doing that. So you don't always have to wave your flag or hold your sign or whatever in order to be recognized as something. But when we talk about our conditioning to respect somebody or disrespect somebody, you don't have to look any further than the fast food worker. It always amazes me how people treat fast food workers disrespectfully and how they look down on them. Just thinking like, you know, do you realize that these are people who are handling your food? Like, these are people who work at a restaurant, a Fortune 500 company restaurant, in fact. But, you know, nonetheless, you're treating them like second-class citizens or whatever because you don't think that you may assume that they didn't work for anything in their lives, or they're not going anywhere, or they fell off, or they must be on drugs, or they're probably trying to keep a welfare check going. Whatever your assumptions may be, nonetheless, you are coming to their place of business, and they are preparing food that you are preparing to put inside of your body, and you are mistreating them. And I don't think that that's a good thing or a good way to be. In the same
you know, Les Brown, he's an old motivational speaker. I think he's still around. I used to listen to his tapes back like pre-06. He said, don't ever disrespect someone who goes behind closed doors to prepare your food. Hell yeah, that's what I'm saying. You wonder why they spit on your hamburger.
You're really taking a chance when you disrespect somebody who is providing a service to you. At the same time, you will give all of your respect to someone who isn't doing anything for you just because they have a lot of money. That seems a little weird to me, but that would explain the hospitality industry. That's basically what it is. You know, rich people get a lot of service. Over Call of Duty in the hospitality industry, and those of those common folk who are looking to be comped at a casino, well, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
But as you see, they both count, because you're not getting comped at a casino unless you've already spent some money. They don't comp you up front. So.
Yeah. You know, when I was growing up, my stepdad was a manual laborer his whole life. He did real high-end work, tile, marble, slate. He was a true craftsman. This is when you floated the floors out manually with mud. There was none of this backer board at Lowe's and all that. He was a true craftsman. He made some beautiful things, and I got to work on some houses as a kid, just a kid, on the summers. I hated it, man. It was manual labor. I hated it, but he was training me, and I remember him working for a gentleman back in the early 80s, who at the time owned the San Diego Chargers. His name was Gene Klein.
Wow.
And he would come out on the job site. This was a monstrous house. This is the biggest house in that area for many, many years. It's gone now. The guy who bought and owned Qualcomm had it razed to the ground and rebuilt something else. But anyway, one day, Gene Klein came out on the job, just checking on things, you know, hanging out with some of the contractors, mainly the, you know, the main contractor that's in charge of the whole job. Check in with him first. Then he'd go around and he'd talk to some of the subcontractors. My dad was one of those. And he always gravitated, and I'm looking back as an adult now, and this isn't the memory of a kid going, yeah, he thought my stepdad was cool. He gravitated toward my stepdad, and I know for a very specific reason, because my stepdad taught me this: no matter who you're working for, you don't treat them any differently, no matter how much money they do or don't make. So my dad spoke to this man as if they were equals. And this very, very wealthy man knew that because he remembered where he came from in his career. He started out selling cars, and then he eventually owned one dealership, and then how many ever others he owned, 10, 15, 20, whatever it was. So they connected. Fast forward to today. I've been in the loan business for 20 years. I've done $30,000 loans, and I've done bigger loans than that with people that make sick amounts of money. I don't treat them any differently. I treat them the same way. I give them the same good customer service to the best of my ability. And I one thing, don't ever do this to rich people. Don't ever kiss their ass when you're dealing with them. They despise it, even if they act like they like it. They hate it, and they will not respect you if you do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Most of them, anyway. Not all of them. I'm sure there's a few exceptions.
Yeah. We do know some examples of where – yeah, that's the only way they're going to do anything for you.
And, you know, if the tipping's good, baby, you might get a little brown nose action if the money's good. There's no shame in that. You're providing them a service, and, you know, they're there to pay for it. Okay, fine. Adults here, no one's had a gun to their head. Fine. Kiss a little ass if that's what you think you need to do. That's just not my cup of tea.
Listen. Kissing ass washes off. It washes off, baby.
Oh, man.
Go ahead and get your Listerine and your toothbrush. It'll be all right.
Hell yeah. Yeah, and you know what? You made a good point, man. While you're in there brushing your teeth and gargling with that Listerine and getting that smell out of your nose, putting a little Vicks vapor up in there to kill that smell, you counting them greens in your pocket. And if that money does something good for you, then so be it.
Everybody does it. Very few people admit to it, but everybody does it. Everybody does it. Some people call it kissing ass. Some people call it networking. Hey.
Yeah, no, and I'm, yeah, you're right.
Comes the time, you know.
Hey, listen. You let me talk way too long, son. Thank you for opening the mic. You're doing great work, and it's amazing. I've only got like maybe 6 or 8 shows that I had followed back in the 08 timeframe. I did this for a while, and then I got away for a long time, like I told you. So I'm cruising through there today, and there was a handful. You were one of them, so I bounced over. But you're the second person that is still consistently putting out content since 08 and probably before that. That takes a lot of, I'm not going to heap the words dedication, determination, whatever it is. None of that matters. The key is consistency. People know, hey, son's going to be on here Saturday at whatever or Sunday or maybe randomly at least once a week. That's where the results come in. Consistency over time is what yields results. Thank you for opening the mic. I appreciate you, sir.
Yeah, I appreciate you, my man. It's been a pleasure this morning. You have a great
you
day.
As well.
Be safe.
Thank you.
Wow, that was great. All right, y'all, we're going to do these birthday shout-outs, and then I'm going to release the hounds. Well, basically, what I'm saying is I'm going to let you get on with the rest of your day or whatever. You know what I'm saying? I enjoyed this show. I don't know why more people didn't come out, but that's all right. This will be our secret show. Shh. Yo, you should have been there. I'm telling you, it was good. It was great. My man, Det Shepherd, appreciate it, mucho. Appreciate you coming through, dropping some good gems, some really, really good gems. We have some birthday shout-outs to do. Some people were born on this glorious January 24th, and they deserve to be acknowledged. So let's go about our business of acknowledging them and making them feel special because they are special because they are special because they are S-E-E-C-I-A-L. They are S-E-E-C-I-A-L to get the R-E-S-P-E-C-C. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-C. They get number one out the box, Kai Smith. Happy birthday to you, Kai. And the Kenya R. Stanford. Turning 40 years old today. You got a 40 in the hands. You got a 40 in. Bow, 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 bow. Yeah, what's up now? Do the damn thing, 40. And Katrina LeBlanc. Happy birthday to you. And she is raising money for the National Autism Association. Good looking out on the fundraising. And Timothy Lipscomb turning 62 years old today. And La Boca Chula Estrella turning 31 years old today. And Isha Campbell turning 44. Bow, 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 bow. What's up now? Do the thing, Isha. And Thomas Christina, happy birthday to you. And Nadine Fisher, turning 28 years old today. Happy birthday to you. And Kimberly Washington, happy birthday to you. And Dante Franklin, turning 41 years old today. And my man, comedian, Dan Reagan. Happy birthday to you, Dan Reagan. I want to say happy birthday to all of you and anyone else out there who shares this birthday when they're on this glorious January 24th, anywhere out there in the world, worldwide, internationally, and universally. All of y'all go ahead and turn up. But don't turn up too loud. Just turn up loud enough so everybody can hear you. Rock out, rock on it, do the damn, the rock out, rock on it, do the damn, rock out, rock on it, do the damn thing, and do your thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings, and do your thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings. Good things happen to those who wait. Great things happen to those who grind. And anything can happen to those who go for theirs. So go hard, go for yours, and remember, man, listen. Paying for your props, earning your props, one way or another, you're probably going to combine the two. Now, the way that it plays out, the way that it the process goes is going to be a little different. It may feel a little different. It may seem a little different, but they have a lot of the same ingredients, baby. It's all in the soup. Will the soup taste the same if you take the celery out? I don't know, but it will still be like soup. I want to tell y'all that I appreciate y'all coming through today, coming through and letting me thank you for letting me be myself again. Charlene Curry. Charlene Curry. What's going on, Charlene? How you feeling, Charlene? Where you been? Good to see some of you. Good to see you. I want y'all to have a great day, spectacular day, a terrific day, a great day. You know what I'm saying? Peace to all my day ones, my everydays, and my brand news. I love y'all to death. Resuscitate y'all. Love y'all right back to life. So on the blog talk side, I'ma release you, let you go. Y'all have a great one. And then.